Praise the Lord. Thank you, Titus. Take your Bibles, please, tonight. Go with me to the book of Ephesians and chapter number 5 in God's Word tonight. Book of Ephesians and chapter number 5 in your Bibles tonight. I want to preach to you a message tonight and give you some thoughts along the line of the church that God desires, the church that God desires. You know, the Bible teaches some things about the church and what God is developing and what God is desiring for His church to be. And we see this in Scripture, in this passage of Scripture. Ephesians chapter 5, and the passage that we're going to read is primarily in context of a husband and a wife relationship. And it is important to understand these things. But inside the middle of it, God has tucked into it some understanding, some good things about what the church ought to be and how God wants His church. Now, the reason we understand this is because the church belongs to God. See, it's God's church. More Baptist Church is not Pastor Larson's church. Amen? More Baptist Church is not any individual's church in the church. More Baptist Church, it's God's. It belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so this is how God is teaching us in this passage about His church. So let's begin verse 25 out of this passage. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse number 25 in God's Word. Notice it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church." There it is. And gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Father, thank you for the Bible tonight. God, I pray that these next few moments that we spend in the Bible tonight would be a profitable time, and that, God, tonight you'd help us to see and understand, God, the things that your church is given to accomplish. We thank you, Lord, for your love and your care for your church. And Lord, I pray you bless your word tonight. Use it in our hearts and our lives. We ask and we'll pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the Bible begins here, of course, as I mentioned earlier, in context as husbands and wives in their relationship to the Lord. And the Bible teaches here that husbands are to love their wives even as Christ loved the church. And so I want to focus on how Christ loved the church in this passage, because it gives us a window into how Christ loved the church based on what a man should do and how a man should love his wife in the Bible. Now I want you to see what verse 26 is teaching you and what it says here. And here's what God wants His church to be like. And this is God's important promise to the church. And this is what every church that is a Bible-preaching church ought to be like and strive to be. He said in verse 26, that He might sanctify and cleanse it. Now, first of all, the Bible talks about a church being sanctified by God. You know, every church ought to be sanctified by God. Now, each one of these words, this word here, sanctified, is the word that means consecrated. It means that every church ought to be consecrated to God. And it means that we have no other consecration, that we have no other attachments to which we are to follow and that which we are to lead. We are consecrated to God. So in essence, what he's trying to teach us here is that God with our whole heart should be number one in our hearts. That's what a church is all about. Amen? Now, I think that there are some side issues that often churches get into that get away from this consecration that God expects for the church to be. Oftentimes, the church gets diverted off into some other things. For example, social goods. You know, I'm not against social good. I'm not against doing good things for people. I'm not against helping poor. I'm not against those things. I think those things are fine, but can I tell you, oftentimes they divert the attention and the consecration of the church. I believe the church is God's. It belongs to God, and God's saying, all right, I want you holy as mine. Just like a husband wants his wife to be wholly his, so equally Christ should be our whole desire, our whole eye, our whole glory. You know, it's like a wife when she gets married to her husband, and a husband gets married to his wife, and they take those vows. Tiffany stole half of my message tonight when she was talking about vows, you know. And it's like a husband, you know, and here this is the comparison. And so it's like a husband when he takes that vow, he says, you know, I want to you and me, we're sanctified together. But, you know, if somebody else comes along inside our marriage relationship, see, that wouldn't be consecration, would it? That wouldn't be consecration. Consecration is this whole heart to that one that's given. See? And so he's talking about the church here, and this is the focus. The focus is that God has us to be his one, and that the church should not divert off into any other secondary loves. The primary love should always be maintained and manifested in the heart of the church. In other words, he's saying, just stay consecrated to me. He's saying sanctified to me. Sometimes we have the false idea of sanctification. And we think, you know, somebody's got their nose in the air. And boy, they are sanctified. No, that's called pride. Amen? That's not sanctification. God's saying his church needs to be sanctified only to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's why everything we do ought to be honoring and pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Everything we do. And so it should be sanctified. Now notice the second thing he says here. It says, cleanse it, verse 26, cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word. So he's saying the word of God has to be a part of the church, because the word of God is what keeps church clean. Amen? The word of God is the church's dial soap. Amen? It keeps us spiritually clean. And you know, it's so important that a church be clean and pure in their heart. Very important. Amen? It's so important. It's like this bride and this husband and wife, and there ought to be a cleanness in between them. And here's why. Because the Bible teaches that one day there is a presentation. Look at verse 27. That he might present it to himself. One day the church is going to be presented to God. And now he's not talking about a universal church. He's talking about a local body of believers, a local church. And so he's saying here, the church one day is going to be presented. And one day, this may sound a bit unusual, but I think one day we as a church will stand together in front of God to be judged by our cleanness. Think of that for a minute. That's pretty interesting. And that's pretty convicting, too.
And a church is that way. God didn't say it was a small church that would be that way or a large church. God said his church, yeah, his church would be that way. You know, God has an order of these things. God has a pastor over a church, a spiritual authority over that church, and that pastor over that church is God's under-shepherd. And it's his duty to lead the church to be this church that's clean and pure. And you know, this is why it's so important, because that every time we as a people, we live in this world, that we keep a clean heart in wherever we go, whatever we do. Don't allow unclean things to get into your heart and in your life. Because we are a church that one day is wanting to be presented to the Lord. Now, I tell you, the world is full of uncleanness, and so we cannot have an attachment to the world. We've got to always keep this heart that says, Lord, I won't be clean. I won't be clean to you. You know, I gave you an illustration, talked this past week about how homosexuality is creeping into churches and becoming acceptable. Boy, I'd hate to be the pastor of a flock like that who accepts that. Amen. Because that church is going to be presented to God one day. That's right. And that presentation, and by the way, if you can even call those churches, they may not even be qualified in God's eyes as his church. But if they do, they're going to be presented by God. They're going to be standing before God. And God wants his church to be clean. I think Revelation chapter 19 is very interesting. Go over to Revelation 19. Hold your finger there and go to Revelation chapter 19. Now, this is a picture of this presentation in heaven when you and I as a church, not just as a individual, of course, there will be an individual judgments. There will be a judgment for the saved, a judgment for the lost. But here he's talking about this presentation that comes before the Lord, Revelation 19. And notice verse 5. The Bible says here, and a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. I notice verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor unto him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Notice the presentation here. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. Notice the next word, clean. Clean. Clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Now that's very interesting, because God expects, and one day a church is going to be presented to God for its cleanness. And you know, as an under shepherd of God, it's my duty to preach, to keep the word out there, to keep preaching the word, because the word God says is what washes and keeps the church clean and pure. We got to keep the word going. We got to keep the word going. You know, that's why, and by the way, I'm talking about the King James Bible. That's what I'm talking about. Keep the word of God going. Keep it pure. Keep it preached. Keep its impact upon our hearts and our minds on a daily basis. Why? Because God's going to be presented his bride one day. And this bride's going to stand before God, an almighty God, and we want to be dressed in fine linen. We don't want spots all over us. Yeah. Amen? We don't want spots all over us. And so I believe this also. I believe that sometimes an unclean thing gets in the life of a Christian. And And you know, sometimes a Christian doesn't think of this, but can I tell you, that hurts a church collectively. That hurts the church as a whole. And we live in a time when the influence of sin and lust and uncleanness is alive in our world, and we have to remember we're sanctified to God. We're cleansed. We're consecrated to God. That's the church. That's God's church. And by the way, it doesn't belong to any of us. It is God's holy church that we have to be ready to be presented to God holy and clean one day. Amen. It's like that bride. It's a picture of a bride, and that husband's up there waiting to marry his bride, and his bride comes down the aisle, and she's got mud all over her. You know, from head to toe, and she's got a big old chunk of mud on her face. And she walks down the aisle, and he looks at her, and the first thing he says down there is, "What happened to you? Where have you been?" That's a comparison picture of the church one day that is going to be given to God. There's a presentation day. Amen? We're living our lives to a day when we're going to be presented to the Lord. So are you living that way? Are you serious about that in your Christian walk with God? Does it impact your walk with the Lord? So he said, sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Verse 27 now, go back to Ephesians chapter 5, and notice verse 27. It says that he might present it to himself, a glorious church. A glorious church. Now, I looked at the word glorious, what it means. It means an honorable church. A honorable church. And I think this means, and especially is focused on, a church's testimony to the world. We're to be honorable. Honorable in all that we do. Churches today are drifting into the mentality of the world. And what happens is they lose the honor. They're losing that honor that God expects his church to have. That's what it means by a glorious church. Glorious. It's supposed to have some honor to it. Amen? Next Sunday, I appreciate men like Brother Archie Davis, who is going to be here next Sunday. Brother Archie, man, that man is full of honor. I thank Lord for honorable preachers, honorable men who maintain an honor in a dark world. And you know, honor is not praised enough. And when Brother Archie was here, he gave me something that mattered to me. He gave me a little. It was a coin. It's not a real coin, but it's like a souvenir type coin. And he gave it to me, and he said, "You know, it's these churches who are staying faithful to God that are the frontline soldiers." He says, those are the kind of churches. And he gave me a coin that, for that reason and for that purpose. And I keep that coin on my dresser, and it reminds me, or on my nightstand next to my bed, and it reminds me of my duty to be honorable in all that I say and do. Now, buying a Ford may not necessarily fit in that category. I don't know or not. Amen. I knew I was going to take a beating, amen. I knew it. But despite that, there ought to be some honor, amen. Honor. But now he talks about another word. Notice, not having spot. Not having a spot. And he's talking about sin and how sin blots us. The word spot here means blemish. God's saying, church, don't blemish yourself. Don't put a spot there. Don't let a a stain even arise. Don't let a blot be there. Don't let a spot come. Don't having a spot, and it's like, again, that comparison of a bride walking down the aisle with a spotted dress. And can I tell you, that is not what God wants us to be. We're going to be presented to God one day. We're going to be presented. It's going to be given to God. It's His. He started it, and from God starting it, He will be the finisher. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginner, and He's the end. And from that, His church needs that. And everything in our life, we ought to understand, that comes into our life is to understand that, listen, I'm part of a church. And by the way, it doesn't matter what church you're ever a part of, it's still a church that needs to be presented to God.
That's right. Amen.
Still the church. I think there's a lot of churches that are going to stand before God one day and say, hey, a lot of under-shepherds that are say, hey, we didn't wash that church with the word. We didn't wash it with the word. Spots came in it. Spots arrived. Spots are there. And see, God admonishes us. God is admonishing the church. Stay honorable, no blemishes. Don't allow blemish in your heart. Don't allow blemish in your life. I like the next word, or wrinkle. Or wrinkle, verse 27. You know, I looked up the word wrinkle, and you know what it means? It means wrinkle. That's what it means. It means don't wrinkle. You know, you think of what causes wrinkles? Now, I'm not a wrinkle scientist, so I don't know all of what creates wrinkles. But you know what I know this? If I put undue stress and undue hurt and pressure on my wife, you know what's going to happen? She's going to wrinkle. She's going to wrinkle. And she won't iron my clothes, so they're going to be wrinkled too. Amen? This really is a picture of a church. And you know, when a church has undue stress, and in other words, when there is peace and there is harmony in a church, can I tell you what? That is always what a church ought to strive to be. I think, I'll be honest with you, I thank God for this church.
Amen.
I thank God for this church. I thank God for the people in this church. We love each other and we get along and don't ever change. Amen.
Amen.
Keep it that way. Because I'll promise you, the devil will throw up something that'll make you want to wrinkle. That old devil's good at it. He knows how to throw a gear in the works. He knows how to do it. And that will cause undue stress and undue hurt and undue difficulty. And you know, I say this today because, you know, the day may come when, guess what? Somebody parked in my spot out there in the parking lot. And somebody sitting in my pew, as if you paid for that thing, you know? And boy, somebody said something to me and it's taken out of context. Or somebody thought that, I had somebody say, somebody's thinking this about me. Somebody said that to me one time. Somebody's thinking this about me. You know what that does? That puts wrinkles in the church. Puts a wrinkle there. And you know, the word, if you really look at it a little deeper, it also has a connotation of folding. You know, you fold something up enough, it ends up wrinkling. And I think the scriptural understanding here in a good way of putting this is to say that oftentimes when there's a little bit of contention or a little bit of strife there, you know, the church is, as a whole, is too valuable for that to occur. And I think sometimes people just have to be willing to say, you know what? I was wrong, and I'm sorry. Amen? The two hardest things to say in life, I was wrong, and I'm sorry. But I tell you what, whenever strife or contention's there, they are two very good words because they keep the wrinkles away. Those are the wrinkle-free spray for the church. Amen? Amen. So I say to you, God is, we're going to be presented someday. It's not like we all just go to heaven and walking on streets of gold. Oh no, one day you and I, we're all going to meet back up somewhere somehow. And Revelation talks about the throne. We're going to come up to God and we're going to be there, and boy, he's going to look at the spots or wrinkles, and he's going to say, I want my church clean. I want my church pure. I want it prepared. And so God's teaching us, hey, no spots, no wrinkles. No wrinkles. Do not put an undue stress in any situation. Be willing to take the step back, because the step back is really the church's step forward when these things arise in our life. So he's saying, don't wrinkle. Notice, next verse 27, notice, or any such thing. He's saying there's some things, I can't cover everything, but there are things that are like that arise. There's no way God could put every potential difficulty into the passage. So he's saying, all right, anything that arises, don't let it cause undue stress in the church. Don't let it affect the church. Don't let it affect God's people. We are God's people. We are God's church as a whole. And by the way, it's all His, and all glory and all honor for what it is goes and shines back to the Lamb who died for us, who sits upon that throne, and He's worthy of all the cleanness we can give Him. So He says that any such thing like that, but that it should be holy, holy, and without blemish. Holy and without blemish. Ought to be clean and holy. Now, I tell you, again, we live in a time when churches are becoming unholy. The word is not preached, or the word is twisted. It's what Galatians chapter 1 talks about another gospel. So soon removed by another gospel. You got to watch out for that all the time. That other gospel, as is talked about in the book of Galatians, it means it looks close, it seems good, but may I tell you what, it's not of the Spirit of Christ. He says, stay away from it. Stay away from it. It's like, here's what that's like. That's like a man's up there waiting for his bride to come walking down the aisle. It's like Jacob. Jacob's standing there waiting for his bride. All of a sudden, guess what? It's the wrong woman. The wrong woman walked down the aisle. What are you going to do? Run! What are you going to do? You know, well, that's what this is. The connotation here is, no, it's the one that God had for you. That other gospel, God's going to say, no, I'm not married to that. I'm not married in that. That's some other gospel. So I say to you tonight, this is the way the church ought to conform or be transformed to Christ, so that we as Christ always are dedicated to Him. Now, lastly, go to Hebrews chapter 10 with me. The book of Hebrews chapter 10. Are you still with me? Hebrews chapter number 10. And I want you to notice a verse or two here. Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse number 22. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another. See, there's part of the church. To provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. All of these pieces of the church are put together in these few verses that God teaches us the washing of the word, a faithful God to keep his church, to consider others and to provoke each other. And that simply is talking about admonishing another, encouraging another to good works, to love and to good works. Hey, keep on serving God is what he's saying. Amen? And this is his promise. And he puts the church into category. He says, don't forsake it. Don't forsake the church. Oh, there's a lot of people that say they're saved, but they don't go to church. And you know the problem with that is that if they're a part of a church, then God's going to hold them responsible for being a spot on that church. Amen. Yeah, because God said the church doesn't forsake the assembling of itself. The church comes together. The word is preached. It's washing us. It keeps us clean because there's a day coming when we're going to stand before the throne of God together. Amen. Together. And God's going to make sure that all those spots are clean, cleansed and gone. You see, a church is not just about one individual. It's about everybody with a heart in tune for God, a clean heart, a heart that does not want any blemish, a heart that doesn't want any wrinkle, but a heart that loves God. That's the picture of the church. So I say to you tonight, where do you fit in? What part in God's church do you play where you can be that place of clean, unblemished service to God? Because that's what a church is. That's what a church really is, striving to be an unblemished part of a whole that we know one day will be present to God. That's what God wants. And so what part are you playing tonight? And may I remind you tonight, whenever that old devil wants to sit in your shoulder, it doesn't just affect one person. It doesn't affect one person. It affects a lot of people. Just remember that. Keep that in your heart and your mind, and let God's words speak to us every day and teach us to walk in his path and in his way. A church unblemished, a glorious church. I love that phrase. A glorious church without spot or wrinkle. And that's what God's church ought to be in our lives. Are you fitting that right category in your life? If not, you ought to find a place to do business with God and keep our hearts clean with God so God can use us not just as an individual, but as a collective group, his church without spot or wrinkle. Let's bow our heads tonight. Let's pray. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I want to ask you, first of all, do you know you're saved? If you're saved tonight, it's been settled with you and God, would you lift your hand? I'm saved. I'm saved. It's settled. Thank you. God bless you. Maybe you're here and maybe it's not been settled in your heart and your life, and you need to get it settled. Why don't you come and do that tonight? Why don't you come and do that tonight? I wonder, maybe you're a Christian here tonight, and maybe there's a spot in your life. Maybe these spots come in, and these impure things come into our lives and we allow them in our life. Let me tell you something. It's not just affecting you. It's affecting your church. Don't let it happen. Let's stay clean with the washing of the word in our life. How about it tonight? Father, thank you for the word tonight. Thank you for the admonition of the church that you give us, knowing we'll be presented to you someday. We'll stand before the throne. The Lamb will be seated upon that throne. And we pray, God, we pray that, God, you would bless. May we be that kind of church in all we do. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.